get Michael back up here. You're all excited. Well, I tease about it, but it's nap time now. Preacher's fixing to preach, y'all. Go to sleep. Y'all got everybody woke up. Mike and Krista have been coming to choir practice and services here. And if you have not met them, meet them after church today. Speak to them. Matt, Krista?
May I say something?
Absolutely. Go ahead. We did have it. Dr. Carter was standing by it in the back there. We just prayed. They're blessed with talent, and then they come and bless us, and we appreciate sharing their talent with us. And, as I said, get acquainted with them after church, and speak to them, welcome them. Part of the fellowship of our church here today. I want you to go with me over to the Gospel of Luke in the 17th chapter. We're going to see one of those classic passages of Scripture that as soon as you see it, you say, oh yeah, we've covered that before. Well, I preached on it before too. So I've heard it many times myself. But for some reason, in God's providence and God's sovereignty, God has given us in America here 12 months of the year. And I know we got seasons all over the world, but we have 12 months. And if I name a particular month of the year, you can think of something specific maybe that's celebrated or observed or something you do or locally or individually, each one of those months. But when we get to the month of Thanksgiving, the month of November, we start thinking of Thanksgiving. Even before Thanksgiving, we start thinking of November and Thanksgiving. And then when I say the name of the month, December, what do you start thinking? Christmas, Santa Claus, yeah, presents, my grandson's birthday, sure, we start thinking about those things. My wife started thinking about decorating our house back in August. So we're already decorated all the way through fall, and now, not giving anything away, keep it private. I know she's getting ready to decorate for Thanksgiving, and we already got our Christmas stuff out. So we're getting ready to decorate for Christmas as well. So we're right on schedule. So pastors around, teachers, lessons, it's for some reason, I said, in the sovereignty of God, God wants us to pause once in a while and just say, thanks, Lord. Thank you. If there was no Thanksgiving celebration, and let's say the November is just a cold, wet month, and just wipe Thanksgiving, the holidays, out of your mind. Say, oh, Lord, no football? No turkey? No, I'm just saying no Thanksgiving. If our American settlers had not challenged us to have Thanksgiving, to pause, to pray, to thank God, how would it feel? When would we ever do that? But in God's sovereignty, in God's purpose for us, He said, pause and observe what God has done for us. The blessing, not just our country, not just my family or yours, but our communities, our towns, the freedoms that we have, the values that we share, all the things that we use and experience in our lives to enjoy our lives, our families, children, grandchildren, all of those things. God says, let's take time to thank God for it. So in the Bible, there are numerous scriptures. You can look in your index. You'll find dozens where the word actually grateful, gratitude, thanks, thanksgiving, praise God for His blessings. There are dozens and dozens all the way through Old Testament and New Testament. One of those classic passages. And I wanted to do this for the entire month of November, is to look at what Jesus gave us about being thankful, being grateful for what he has done for each of us. One of those classic lines, stories right out of the life of Jesus. Now, we won't use this again. We're going to look at other ones in the scriptures. But I thought it'd be appropriate, since we're here because of him, let's honor him and use his experience and his words to get us started for this month of praising God and thanksgiving. So, in Luke chapter 17, and beginning in verse 11, going through verse 19, you have that passage of scripture where Jesus and his disciples were going up to Jerusalem, and says they went by through Samaria and Galilee. They were going in that area. And it doesn't tell us where it was, but they came upon a village. And there, somewhere, obviously outside the village, before they could even go into it, they find 10 lepers. And these lepers are supposed to stay a given distance away from people. But in the experience with these lepers, Jesus gives us one of the foundational truths of our life. And if it's only for today, if it's only for one month, just a few Sundays, let's pause and listen to what he says and the principles and truths and the lessons that we need to carry out of here today. 10 lepers are healed. One returns to give thanks to Jesus. My challenge to you is to be the one. Be the one. That's what this month, our lives are about. Be the one that praises God, thanks him for what he has done for us. Let's bow just a moment for prayer. Lord, thank you for this time, for your word. Lord, there's so much in this experience. There's so many things that we can see, and Lord, there's, I'm sure, things that in our feeble minds we cannot see at all. But one day, one hour, a few minutes out of the life of our Savior, he pauses to share something that has multiplied down through 2,000 years, and we can still learn great spiritual truths that will encourage and enhance our very lives and our relationships. And for these things, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we get started in this passage, and we're just going to look at a couple of powerful points, let's see if we can contrast people that are thankful and people that are not, okay? People that are not thankful, and we know there are some that are thankful once in a while. Have you heard the story about the dog that went to the butcher shop? You haven't heard that lately? Okay, I thought everybody heard that. Some of you are shaking your head and nodding. Some of you are shaking other things. I don't know what you're doing. The dog appeared at a butcher shop. When the dog walked in, a great big dog, he had a strap from a purse, had a purse, and it was hanging down like this. He walked right into a butcher shop. When he got up to the butcher looked over, and he was a little bit surprised. Here's a dog carrying a little purse there. And he says, "What do you want?" The dog started woofing, barking. And he said, "Well, I guess you want some meat?" And the dog barked again. He said, "Well, we got liver, we got pork, we got beef. What do you want?" And the dog barked again. He said, "Wait a minute. Liver?" The dog was quiet. "Did you want some pork?" The dog was quiet. He said, "How about steak?" The dog started barking. "Well, yeah. But woof, that's what I want." He said, "Okay, how much do you want? Do you want half a pound?" "Nothing." "You want a pound?" "Woof, woof." "Yeah, want a pound." "Okay, all right, I'll cut you a pound of meat." He got it, wrapped it up, put it in the dog's mouth. Butcher reached down and looked in the purse and got the money out. The dog walks out. He's got a pound of meat now going out of the door. The butcher said, "That's the smartest dog I've ever seen. I got to go commend the owner of that dog and tell him how smart that dog is." So he follows him out the door, closes the door of the meat market, goes, follows him down the sidewalk. Dog goes down to an apartment building. He goes all the way up to the third floor. The dog gets up there and he stops right in front of the door. He waits just a second. And then the dog starts scratching on the door. Then he scratched again on the door. And the dog then stands up, starts scratching on the door. Barking, 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 scratching, scratching. Finally, this old man comes to the door. The old man throws open the door. He's dressed in a nightshirt and he's half shaved, you know, a ragged looking man. He said, "What in the world are you doing? You are the stupidest dog I've ever seen in my life." The butcher said, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. This dog came in my shop through just barking. He ordered a pound of meat. I gave it to him. I took the money. He walked out. That is the smartest dog I've ever seen in my life." The old man said, "You think he's smart? He is stupid." The butcher said, "Why do you think he's stupid?" He said, "Because this is the third time this week he's gone to the market and forgot the apartment key to get back in." The old man wasn't very thankful. He wasn't thankful for what the dog had done for him. Now let's contrast that with somebody that was thankful. You may have already seen the story too. The woman lived in Chicago. She was a businesswoman. Every day when she went to work to get into the huge high-rise executive office where she worked, in fact, her name was Pam. I don't remember her last name. Her name was Pam. Pam would have to go around the corner as she went to the parking deck, parked her car, walked around. When off the street, she'd go into the business executive building. Well, as she came around the corner, every day, there was an old woman standing there. She had on a ragged coat, and she was holding a bucket just asking for change or something. And Pam said she just got in the habit of putting money in there. Every time she'd come around, she'd see the old woman. She'd take some change out and put it in the bucket. Well, this went on for months and months and months. Every day, she'd see the old woman there just picking, getting change. And she said after a few months, she went to work one day and the woman was gone. Well, it bothered her a little bit. She didn't know what had happened to her. And so after about 2 to 3 weeks, Pam said she went to work one day and the woman was back. Now, she still had on the old ragged coat. But as she went by, Pam stopped to talk to her. She said, "I missed you. You've been gone for a few weeks." The old woman said, "Yes." She said, "I actually got a job, and I'm making a salary." She said, "Well, why are you back out here?" The old woman turned around behind her. She had a box there, little sacks in it. She picked up a sack. She said, "I had to come back and give you this. I've got a package for everybody that came by and gave me money." And she opened it up, and she had 2 donuts in there for Pam. She said, "Thank you for giving me that change for those 3 months that I was destitute. I wouldn't be here today if it hadn't been for you. And I had to come back and tell you and all the others how much I appreciated what you had done." Now contrast that with the old man. Wasn't thankful. But this old lady on the street was so thankful that once she got some money, she went and bought packed presents for all of those who had been giving her money. There are those in life that are thankful. There are those that are not. There may be some of us that sometimes just have to be reminded to be thankful to those that have helped us along the way. I want you to notice just a couple of powerful points Jesus makes in this story. First of all, I want you to notice that God, of course, and Jesus in this story, is telling us to be thankful for what God has done, for the goodness of what he has done. There are so many good things. We could start with family. We could start with jobs. You could start with houses, the material things, family things. You could thank God maybe for your health. You could thank Him for what health you have, as opposed to those who are up in Rocky Hill right now. You could thank God for a lot of things, and there are those of us that want to do that. Notice here that Jesus reminds us in this passage that all of those other nine come back to thank Him for having healed them. So Jesus is saying there are those that say, I want to please heal me. The nine did not come back and thank Him, but the one that did thanked Him. So God, Jesus is saying to us, thank Him for all of the good things that He does. Now, what could Jesus have done for a leper that would have caused him to be so excited about? What was so good about it? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? If you ever study a little bit about leprosy, you ever look it up on anything just to get a glimpse of what it is, do you know that there's lepers still today? There are lepers colonies. There are lepers colonies in several countries of the world. The last figure I saw, just a month or so ago in one of our SBC magazines, there are still about 5 million lepers in the world today, primarily in India and China. They have leper colonies. I think there's one still in Hawaii. There was for many, many years. Leprosy is where the nerves on the ends of your extremities begin to die, and your fingers can actually become nubs because the skin begins to fall off. And bumps and knots become all over your face, all over your body. It looks like you've been stuffing cotton up your skin, and it makes knots all over your body. You can draw, pull them up and get pictures there of how it would have been back in that day. And not only physically, the pain that they would have had to endure, but the Bible says, and even today to some extent, but back in the Bible days, they didn't have a cure. All they knew was to get them out of sight, out of mind. They would live in colonies with nothing else but lepers that were there. So in other words, once you were diagnosed with this terrible disease, you were separated not only from society, you're separated from your family. If you had a wife or a husband, just don't kiss them goodbye. In fact, that's once they were diagnosed, they couldn't go back home. And it was the priest that would diagnose them and say that you have leprosy. Don't go back home and pack a bag. Just go home. Go with to the colony where the others are. Physical pain, the emotional pain of not being with your children, your family, only congregating with those that are just like us. I want you to notice the contrast here too. He was going through the villages of the province of Samaria. Samaria was known as the people of the outcast. That's why the Good Samaritan story here, this one turns out to be a Samaritan, so forth. Those were ostracized people because they had intermarried during the captivity and during a period of time, they had intermarried with Gentiles, which destroyed the bloodline of the Jewish people. And they didn't like that. So anybody was called a Samaritan, you stayed away from them. You didn't have anything to do with them. The Samaritans finally built their own temple because it wouldn't be allowed into the Jewish synagogue. These were Jewish people, but they wouldn't allow what they do. They built Mount Gerizim, they built their own temple. And that's where they would have to worship. All the pain, physical, emotional, even religion, they couldn't worship with any of those people. So no wonder when this leper was healed, he comes back to thank God, to thank Christ for having healed him. And now you know what's going to happen. He thanked him because that was something that was so good and right that Jesus did for him. He healed him completely. Now, notice something else here too. In the midst of all the football and the food and all the families, if you can't think of anything else, can you think of just something that God has done as part of the goodness out of his heart that he's provided for you and your family. Anything in your life that he has done for you. That's what happened to this leper that came back. He was thanking God, I can go back to my family. I can go back and be a part of society again. I can go back and really be a human being again. No wonder he was so thankful and grateful to God of what had happened in this particular instance. No wonder. He looked around and saw that he had been healed, and he goes back to thank the Lord Jesus. But if something curious happens here, I don't mean to be slurring on the name of Jesus, but you know, you couldn't get it past Jesus that only one came back. Jesus asked the pointed question, where's the other nine? Where's the other nine? Why didn't they come back? Where are they? Jesus, you only got 10% here, one out of 10. 90% don't know where all those good things came from. They don't care. They just want to enjoy it. They got a good life, good house, job. They got children. They got all these relationships. They got hobbies. Lord, we got all this stuff. I don't have time to come back and praise you and thank you for it. See what he did? Jesus said, I might be a little slow in learning sometime, but I caught on real quick that there were 10 of them, but only one came back. But they were healed. He was healed. They're made right again with the communities. Now, why didn't they come back? I want you to notice something else about this story. To me, probably one of the most pivotal moment in all of it. If you will notice, he says, as they went, they were cleansed. You ever notice that? Just three words there, no matter what version you got. As they went or as they were going. Doesn't that sound a little strange? Don't we need a little bit more expansion on that? Don't we need a little bit more interpretation? Why did the scripture say as they went? Why didn't it say they went on down the road and they went and saw the priest and the priest came back and said they're all cleansed? What? No. Why would Jesus, why would God's word want us to believe that when Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest, as they turned and were going, what is he saying? Because, listen now, as Jesus said that, let's take it one thing at a time. Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. They're standing right like this, looking at Jesus. Now, they're distanced from him, but they're looking at him. Jesus says from the distance, go show yourself to the priest. Now, imagine in your mind, play it out. They turn and they start going. What are they doing? Their circumstances have not changed. Not until they turn and start going, then they are made whole, cleansed, the Bible says. So what is he trying to tell us? They didn't wait for the circumstances to change before they went. Does that speak to anybody? Hello? You're sitting here right here today. Say, Lord, I can serve you a little more. If my circumstances have changed, then I'll turn and go. I want you, God, to change my circumstances. I want you to solve my problems. Then I'll do what you want me to do. I got news for you. Don't bargain with God. You're going to lose. Jesus gave the command, go They turned and started going. Then their circumstances changed. What is happening? Too many of us wait and say, well, I'm going to wait right here and see if I'm going to be cleansed. If you'll cleanse me, then I'll go to the priest. There's no need going to the priest if I'm still a leper. I don't have any assurance he's going to declare me clean. I'm still a leper. So you need to cleanse me here. Then I'll see if I want to go to the priest or not. Isn't that just like all of us? Lord, change my circumstances. I'll love you more. I'll even start tithing. Hello, anybody hear that? I'll start tithing if you just change my circumstances. God says, here, I got a word for you. Why don't you start tithing anyway, because that's being obedient. Did you hear? They were being obedient to Jesus by simply turning to go. You want your circumstances changed? Obey him. Obey his word. Start serving. Start giving. Start being the people of worship that he has called us to be. Don't wait for the circumstances. Because see what they were doing. They were trying to bargain. That would be trying to bargain with him. Change my life. Change my circumstances. And then I'll control you, Lord. One last part of this. There are dozens of points. But the last part is the last part of the passage. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this one, this Samaritan? Some versions say the foreigner. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you what? The Greek word is the word soteria. When you get to the seminary, and Michael hasn't gotten to some of these Greek words yet, when you get to the seminary, soteria is the word salvation. You know what it comes from? It comes from a child coming out of a womb. The child has been saved. The soteriology is a study of salvation. This one that he said to him, arise, go your way. You have just been saved. You have now been made completely whole. The other 9 were just simply cleansed of leprosy. They didn't come back to find salvation through thanksgiving. This one has been cleansed head and soul, heart and spirit, because he was willing to come back and to praise God for what he had done. Let me give you a last couple of contrasts. First, everybody in here, if you've ever visited a Lifeway store or Books A Million, go down to the Christian books section of Books A Million, you'll find dozens of books by an author named Beth Moore. Beth Moore has been writing books and studies. We've used them in our church for, I guess, more than 30 years. I can't remember. Millions of copies. So Beth Moore, in her heart of life, she wanted to visit a leper colony. In one of her books, she says that she finally was taking a tour somewhere overseas, and I don't remember the city or the country, probably India. But anyway, she got there, and they said, well, while you're here, would you like to go to a leper colony? She said, yes. I don't want to go just to see it. I want to go and force myself to go into the colony and preach Christ. She said, that's what I want to do. I want to make sure they've heard the gospel. And I've always wanted to witness to lepers. So they made the transportation available. They took her out. They had to park some distance away. And while they were still on the bus, she was praying. And it wasn't just her, it was other people. Not a one of them got off the bus. This is a Christian group. Beth Moore. You know why they couldn't get off the bus? The smell made them sick. The smell of rotting flesh from the lepers. Beth Moore started crying because this was one of the goals of her life, was to get in there and witness to those lepers. She said, but God, forgive me, I couldn't get past the smell of rotting flesh on those lepers.